Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. In Old Testament times, there were strict regulations regarding the firstborn in families. The oldest son's share of the family inheritance was double that of other sons. Why that was true may never fully be resolved. But some scholars speculate that it was the oldest son's responsibility to care for his aging parents. In order for him to do that successfully, he had to have a larger share of the inheritance. Apparently, the family could not disinherit the firstborn. Deuteronomy 21:15-17. The Greek New Testament uses the word prototakos, always translated firstborn, 9 times. In some cases, the word simply refers to Christ being Mary's firstborn child. An angel of the Lord instructed Joseph to take Mary for his wife, even though she was pregnant out of wedlock. And Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew 1:24-25. Paul writes of God, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Romans 8:29. All the New Testament references to firstborn are significant, but I want to dwell on the word as it is used in Paul's letter to the Colossians. Who, that is Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1:15. One of England's most outstanding Greek scholars, Dr. J.B. Lightfoot, says in his book, St. Paul's Epistles to the Colossians and to Philemon, that the firstborn means priority to all creation and sovereignty over all creation. Pages 146 and 147. The late Dr. F.F. Bruce's commentary on the Epistle to the Colossians gives an excellent analysis of the expression, the firstborn of every creature. The context makes it clear that this title is not given to him as though he himself were the first of all created beings. It is emphasized immediately that, far from being a part of creation, he is the one by whom the whole creation came into being. What the title does mean is that Christ, existing as he did before all creation, exercises the privilege of primogeniture as Lord of all creation, the divinely appointed heir of all things. He was there before the creation began, and it was for him as well as through him that the whole work was done. Page 194. Some American cultic groups take the expression, the firstborn of every creature, to mean that Jesus was a created being. That, friends, is not the meaning of the text. If it were, it would contradict many other New Testament passages. For example, John affirms that Jesus had been with God throughout all eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. John 1:1-3. How could the Creator be a created being? The Hebrew writer adds, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Hebrews 1:10-12. As the firstborn of all creation, Jesus has been appointed heir of all things. As Christ's fellow heirs, Christians have been promised an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. My friends, I hope you're longing for that eternal inheritance. Thank you, and may God bless and keep you.